I had found an organization called Community Service Volunteers. They were based in the East End of London at Toynbee Hall. When I stepped off the overnight train from Glasgow, it was still too early for the interview, so I made my way to the area and wandered through the streets. A crowd of homeless men sat on the steps of a nearby church. Here was living evidence of need, I thought, confirmation of the rightness of my decision to follow a different path, vindication for my battle against the status quo. If the man behind the desk at CSV was surprised to see the naive, quixotic man-child of 21 who entered his office, he concealed it behind his proper English manner. Instead, he explained how the volunteer network worked. CSV was a clearinghouse that matched volunteers with many organizations throughout the country. Volunteers received a nominal weekly allowance and board. Was that acceptable? Yes, I told him. We sorted through the need cards and settled on a halfway house for ex-prisoners in Rutland. I exchanged the mainline express at Leicester for a slow local train to Oakham. It was winding its way now around a long curve towards the setting sun. I gazed out the window at the red luminous ball floating into view over the flat, featureless Rutland landscape. I was heading into a picture postcard cliché. The beginning to my adventure had the backdrop of a B-movie ending. Whether my opening scene was trite or magnificent didn't matter. It would serve well enough as a symbol of new beginnings, in stark contrast with the grime left behind. The sun's raw brilliance pierced my inner landscape. Its rays illuminated and emphasized my sense of disconnection from everything that had gone before. This was an alien sun in an alien landscape for a city boy from the tenements of Glasgow. I fought to subdue the amalgam of fear and exhilaration I had experienced since early that morning. In the crisp, cold, unheated house of my parents in Glasgow, I held on to the ordinary to calm the turmoil in my gut. Here was that same old anxiety again, the rush of gnawing, stomach-churning apprehension that had kept me from so much. I held on to my determination while I packed some clothes and a few favourite books in the green holdall. My need for freedom embraced uncertainty as a necessity. It led me step by step to the bus stop, where I waited for the familiar green and gold Corporation double-decker bus. I built my departure moment by moment, hand over hand. My mind was possessed with a sense that I would remember these seemingly trivial moments forever. I was in the events and observing them. The leaden fabric that was my life was somehow being changed, transmuted. It was not the events themselves that were monumental, but the significance I'd chosen to assign to them. Each little step forward would serve as an allegory for the very real act of wrenching myself free. Waiting to depart in Central Station, I constructed a mental drama of this day in my life, rolling imaginary credits, selecting camera angles, replaying the scenes. Was I trying to make sense of my own ambivalent feelings, or merely making the insignificant appear significant? Was this odyssey heroic, ordinary, or silly? I wanted my departure to be heroic, to make it important, as if planned, rather than an act of desperation. My parents had waited for the train to leave, making small talk to conceal their emotions. It was not a simple leave-taking for them, more than a mere departure. I had forced the issue, first by dropping out of the university to pump gas while I spent my spare time cleaning up slum tenements, then going back for a short time, only to leave again. I was the first in my family to go to the university. At 11, through a scholarship won by competitive exam, the boy from the housing scheme had found himself at a select, elite school, followed by the University of Glasgow. In my parents' eyes, I had escaped the drab vacuum of the housing scheme and then thrown the opportunity away. At Central Station, my parents were standing in the wreckage of a dream. For them, I was leaving on a futile, senseless venture. For me, I was reinventing myself, shaking off the rigid, clawing, small-minded normality of Scotland, to make, I wasn't sure, some new kind of existence. It was the uncertainty, the need for new permutations of reality that appealed to me. To better define myself, I had to leave.